Hello, everyone, and welcome. Oh, nope, that's not how I start it now.
Hey, my internet buddies.
What's up, internet? I'm Hollander Cooper, and this is Radio Radar, episode 61. In the studio with me, we have
Henry Gilbert,
Greg Henniger,
and Lorenzo Valoria.
We're going to have some people popping in a little later. It's a hectic day. We have a DualShock 4
Duel.
In office that we've been busy messing with and trying
dual
to...
Dual DualShock 4.
We have dueling.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the next five Fridays are going to be hectic ones.
Oh, yeah. These podcasts are going to end up being kind of strange, but we're going to have people jumping in. Tom should be in here for the second segment.
Popping.
Lucas for the third. But right now, we're going to discuss the top seven. I forgot to play that for the last few weeks, but I will not forget again.
Ooh.
Because for the people listening, like, wearing earphones, it's one of the creepiest ones, because he's just, like, slowly whispering in your ear.
It's the top seven. And it, you hear, seven. Like, hold on, let's...
I can, like, feel his breath.
Hold on. It's the top seven. I love the... It sounds like he moves in so yeah. close to the microphone, it's just like...
yeah.
It's the top seven.
I love it so much.
Adjusting his
who
mic
was
a
that
little.
Again?
Why would you ask me that? I don't remember.
We're going to figure this out before we move on the podcast.
It'll be in next week's correction.
No, we're going to figure it out.
Is it Project Alpha? No.
Hold on. We're figuring this out right now. I'm not moving on.
Yeah, you did this to me.
Tag slash Radio Radar.
It's the top seven.
Hey, Lorenzo, how was Hawaii?
It was fantastic. I got myself a nice tan. Went on a nice
you are brown
Jeep
as hell
drive.
Right now.
Lucky. Went around the island.
Which island?
Sat on the beach for like 6 hours one day.
Oahu,
yeah.
The best island out there.
Went there for a wedding and chilled there with my friends for a while.
How many people went to that wedding?
I'd say it was about 50.
50 people?
Yeah.
Destination wedding?
Yeah, destination wedding.
Did they do it under a waterfall?
No, it was just in a courtyard in one of the hotels.
Was there a
right
hula dance afterwards?
No, I saw no hula.
Roast pigs?
I did not eat it. Oh, no, I had some of the Kahlua.
Did you get...
Kahlua, yeah.
Kahlua stuff.
Did you get laid? As in someone put a lay on
oh,
here?
I got laid.
Did you have sex with your girlfriend?
Oh, I had sex with my girlfriend.
It was Project Alpha.
Boom.
And Project Alpha, we have a message for you. After this 15-second ad.
I did it!
Did what?
I climbed this mountain!
Huh. Well, I save hundreds on my car.
I hate advertisements, so let's move on.
What was that?
I'm trying to be a nice guy. I'm trying to be a nice guy, and to be a nice guy, I was going to pull up a...
This is a catastrophe.
Project Alpha, thank you for that audio clip. You did it. You made a sound clip.
You're the best around.
All right, so...
I was just getting into it.
Anyway, wow. So let's
You're
move
the best.
On
what
to the top seven.
Around.
Top seven most depressing ways video games are better than real life. This is something that we've sort of talked about in the office on several occasions before. And, yeah.
Yep.
Top seven.
Yep.
Sorry, the website was glitching, and I just got a message explaining how to fix it that I had to close and ignore.
I like depression. I mean,
yeah. We talked about this before about how video games kind of give you a misinterpretation mm-hmm. of the real world.
IRL.
So let's start with the number seven reason video games are better than real life. All problems have an obvious solution. Henry, what does this mean?
Well, it kind of reminds me of you and I have just played Batman Arkham Origins, and he goes to a crime scene, and he's like, I need to solve this crime. And he immediately solves it within every answer is within 5 feet of him.
Yes.
He is the world's greatest detective, though.
But just going to a crime scene and like, well, I'll find the murderer immediately. And not only will he find the murderer, but then he can go like, hey, Alfred, where's the murderer? Oh, I have his most recent known location right here, sir.
And or even worse, like there's a chance that 1% of the people listening to this podcast are going to have a situation in their life that they're incapable of getting out of,
uh-huh.
and then they may die. It's just going to happen.
Ooh.
It's grisly.
It's grisly, yeah. And grim. But see, but in Batman Arkham Origins, if Batman is in a room where the walls are slowly closing in on him, guess what? There's a vent he can get out of. Guess what's not going to happen to you, 1% of podcast listeners?
Grisly death.
No vent in sight.
If someone goes to the work of putting you into a death trap, they usually think of reasons you won't get out.
Exactly. That Saw guy ain't going to give you an easy out.
Yeah.
Well, he would give you an
easy out.
I mean, you'd have to cut your arm off or something.
Would you rather have your face smashed or crawl through a vent?
It's a would you rather situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember the one, it was in Saw 2 where...
Then no.
Someone had to, the answer was in this glass box and they had to move their hands up through a thing, but it was like the flaps were sharp metal, so it didn't cut your hands going up, but if you got the thing and wanted to pull them out, slash up your hands.
Ah.
And then it was the other one where, like, this is also in Saw 2, the key was in a, like, swimming pool full of used needles, like used syringes.
Jesus.
And this one girl was like, well, I'm not going in there. And then the asshole guy who was part of the group, like, hey, start looking, shoves her in. And then she just, like, looks, like, the look on her face, like, it was,
gore porn.
Yeah.
Gross.
Did you guys ever play the Saw video game?
Huh?
I
know there's a disgusting screenshot of it of someone slicing under the eye with a scalpel.
Yeah. So, fun fact about the Saw video game, pretty good.
Really?
Surprisingly
that
good.
That is a fun fact.
It's not a bad... I can't speak for the Saw 2 video game, but the Saw 1 video game, solid game.
What are they up to now on Saws?
They took a break after 7, right?
12.
They made it to 7?
It got supplanted by Paranormal Activity.
Ah, yes.
That's the new yearly...
Though I feel like that's already on the way out.
Should be. They'll find a new $20. Like, the thing is, those are so cheap.
Yeah.
That they, even if it only makes $70 million in one weekend, they make $60 million.
Yeah, how much did it cost to make the first one? Like $200,000 or something.
Yeah, it's something ridiculous.
And that was all spent on the green filter.
Yeah, yeah.
Number 6 on the most depressing ways video games are better than real life. You are important.
Aw, thanks, Coop.
Oh.
See, but here's the thing. You're not.
What?
You're not a video game character.
Oh,
so reason being, if Commander Shepard doesn't get out of bed in the morning, the world ends.
Right.
Just how it's going to be. Same with pretty much any video game character you've ever played as.
I liked in 3 that in Mass Effect 3 it got to the point where even, like, I think they had to recognize that, like, Shepard could just walk around like, I have saved whole fucking planet, you guys. Like, I stopped the genophage.
There were a lot of times.
Billions owe me.
Yeah, there were a lot of times where in a discussion, you could pull that card out. Like, two people would be arguing, and he'd be like, listen up. You'd all be dead now if I didn't go punch that guy in the face.
It felt good to say that.
Yeah,
every so often. But unlike what happens.
I can't say that to anybody.
I was going
to
say, what happens if you don't get out of bed in the morning? You get, like, an email.
Yeah. I don't get out. Yeah, what
Sophia
happens?
Sophia sends you an angry message.
You get a text and a call.
That says, where are you? And then the next text is, you're fired.
Not even. Not
we
even.
Need to talk.
Not even. It would be like, where are you? And it would be like, she'd call.
Uh-huh.
And then she'd be like,
oh, whatever.
Well, I guess we'll figure out next. Like, who wants to handle his work duties
who
today?
Who wants to handle social duties?
Hopefully he is back tomorrow. And then you come in tomorrow and you're like, I had a medical emergency. And she's like, I understand.
Yeah.
And then everything goes on.
But if that happened like 4 weeks in a row, then you would be fine.
Yeah. But so far, if it's just that there's very few times in your life that you're vital to anyone else's existence.
Yeah.
Like, it's
What would those days be? What, wedding day?
Wedding day, because there are a lot of people that need you to show up somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe when you have a kid and they rely on you to feed them.
Or pick them up from school.
Yeah,
there
but that's
go.
One
there
life.
You go.
Yeah,
but you're really important to that one life.
Yeah, but kids like dogs. Like, if you gave them to somebody else, they'd
Maybe
be fine
like
in like a day or two.
If you're like a school bus driver or something.
They could find a replacement school bus driver.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd say that there are people that are important. Like, if a certain doctor doesn't show up to a certain operation, a person could die. But that's still a person.
Yeah.
Nobody in human existence has probably been as important as Mass Effect's Shepard has been in that universe's existence, or even as important as, like, miscellaneous Call of Duty character who shoots a guy. Soap is the most important person.
Soap McTavish?
Ooh. I feel like the guy who killed Bin Laden, maybe you could say, like, would be a similar one to that Call of Duty, but didn't he
was an old man,
like,
with dialysis, well, sitting in a cave.
No, he was
sitting in a house with pornography.
Yeah, turned out it wasn't a cave. It was a house with porn in Pakistan. But he, I think didn't, at least maybe not the guy who killed him, but one SEAL of the Team members 6. Of SEAL Team 6, didn't he die in just a routine operation?
A few people that were in a helicopter crash, I think.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is depressing.
Grizzly. Yo, number 5.
What is up with today?
You know who wants to hurt you.
It's a depressing kind of conversation we're
having. Yeah, so in video games, you know that when you hold the left trigger and the camera zooms in on someone, that is the person that wants to hurt you, so you are supposed to hurt them.
Yeah, and they're the red dot on the map.
Mm. Yeah. In real life, not so simple. Yeah.
I wish I could turn on detective vision, and then I know who all my enemies are in the office.
There'd be a lot of red, Hank. I'm not going to lie.
And you know their vital signs?
Yeah, all these people are trying to...
Well, red is if they have guns, and yellow is if they are just dangerous, right?
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of red.
This guy's calm and not panic.
You'd look over, and Tom would be yellow, and then you'd look over at Lorenzo, and you know he's packing.
Your hands are lethal weapons, aren't they?
No. Not yet.
You're like a... quadruple black belt?
Not yet. Yeah, I think you have to be like a grandmaster or something.
So what is your karate history? Because we do not know it on the podcast.
Oh, do you really want to know?
Yes.
Yes.
I started when I was seven.
Okay.
Took taekwondo for till I was like 23. Kind of gave up since then because I'm working and stuff. So
yep.
Yeah, I did that for a long time. Did all kinds of cool stuff like break bricks and whatever.
With your face?
Not with my face, my hands.
So what?
Way less cool.
So what? What degree were you?
Third degree.
Oh,
third degree black belt.
Yeah.
So
bricks with your hands.
So you can look around the room. You'd know Lorenzo wants to hurt you and can. In an instant. And will.
Used to fight people in tournaments and stuff. That was a good time.
Yeah, I'm not having this problem right now. I know, I know who wants to hurt me.
Well, right now,
Lorenzo.
It's Lorenzo.
Yes. We bowed.
Was it like in the movies, like Karate Kid and Sidekicks?
Yeah, the soundtrack for You're the Best. Oh, right. Oh, just plays in the back of my head the whole time.
Were there lots of people watching during those?
Oh, yeah. There's thousands of people.
Did you see Sidekicks?
That one. Which one was that?
That was the one with Chuck Norris in it, but it was basically Karate Kid again for the 90s.
No, I don't think so.
No, wait. Was it Sidekicks? I think it was Sidekicks. Never mind.
That went absolutely nowhere.
In that movie, the villain was Joe Piscopo of Saturday Night Live in the early 80s. Except he was a former Saturday Night Live just goofball. And then when he appeared in this movie, he was ripped, he'd clearly been doing steroids and stuff. And the whole movie he was making fun. So this kid, is super inspired by Chuck Norris. He's like, I'm going to become a kung fu master just like Chuck Norris. And then at the end, he goes to a tournament pretty much exactly like Karate Kids. Mm. But Chuck Norris becomes his second in it because he's just like, man, I need a second. Chuck Norris is right there, Chuck. And then Joe Piscopo, the whole movie, is just like, Chuck Norris, he's a phony. I beat him up once. I did. And then Chuck Norris beats him with one punch.
It sounds so familiar. See, but the tournaments I used to go to, we wore pads and stuff. And it was
it was just more super stuff.
Yeah, it was more like super full contact. So you wouldn't pull back when you hit somebody.
Chuck Norris for the Flying Dragon and Coming Stone representing his dojo.
This sounds just like Karate Kid.
I love how the other one doesn't have a name.
That was exactly Karate Kid.
Flying Dragon.
Joe Piscopo's a dick. He put his fist out for the gloves, and when Chuck Norris went to do it, he just punched him in the head. Man, Joe Piscopo's the worst.
Piscopo's a pretty big jerk, yeah. And I don't think he's been in much since then.
Wasn't he in Happy Gilmore?
No, that guy sort of looks like Joe Piscopo, but the guy who says, I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
Yeah, that's not him.
That's not Piscopo.
Shooter McGavin?
Yeah.
Good old Shooter McGavin. I liked how he was basically the exact same character in Dirty Work.
I love it.
When he reappeared in Dirty Work. He just owned a movie theater or whatever.
His last movie was...
Was it Sidekicks?
He did Sidekicks, then Huck and King of Hearts. Which doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. I'm going to skip the ones that don't even have a Wikipedia page. Demolition Day, Dead Lenny, and that's it.
Yikes.
Wow, that's nothing.
On the bright side, he does have a long section on his Wikipedia page of all of his celebrity impressions.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he was famous.
You can hire him for a party for $20.
He was one of those Saturday Night Live guys who could do like five impressions, and then they just made those the star of every sketch. We're like, it's the Frank Sinatra show, because he could do Frank Sinatra well.
Yeah, or Geraldo, or Howard Stern, or in a pinch, Jesse Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Didn't that make you – did you ever see what on Saturday Night Live with Jimmy Fallon, like, who could do a really good Chris Rock impression, they actually, like, dressed him up as Chris Rock for a sketch and, like, he's technically in blackface. Like, this doesn't feel right.
Oh,
like, yikes. Him pretending to be black just doesn't feel right.
The next day, Robin Williams jokes.
He does 100 of them.
You said
they get together, they have a good time, and then someone sings a sad song. We all cry, and then we go to sleep. And maybe there's a fight. And then,
He was funny.
Oh, is he not doing it?
He looks so serious.
Unimitatable.
Which is weird.
There must be some unimitatable.
Yeah, I mean, I've done some where I just go, that was just bad.
All right. Anyway.
Top seven.
Top seven Jimmy Fallon references in games. Number four, all problems are external. And essentially what this one means is, in real life, the only thing in most cases stopping you from improving yourself is your own laziness. Mm-hmm. You are not going to the gym and getting swole. You haven't joined Greg's Swole Patrol.
The Swole Patrol.
You haven't joined that. You are not studying and you're going to fail that test because you're just going to lay around and watch TV. Mm-hmm. In video games, the only thing stopping you from doing those things is literally the inability to do them. Your character is what it is, and it's only ever going to be that way.
Well, to play a game is to complete goals. Like, unlike in real life where there's things like video games to prevent you from completing personal goals, the point of a video game is to complete them. So it has to be an external force that gets in the way, a door that's locked, a gadget that's needed, a codex you can't find.
A spirit barrier. Mm-hmm.
But if it was like, well, I can't go for a run because I don't have the running power up yet. I got to level up first in watching TV.
Yeah, but in real life, you're just kind of like, I should go for a run. It might rain later.
Popcorn is so tasty.
I'm a little tired.
I just ate a lot, so my stomach's full.
Got to wait 30 minutes.
Yeah, you got to wait 30
before
minutes.
Before swimming.
Number three, right and wrong are very clearly defined. So the example image in this one was a good one, and it's just a picture from BioShock with like the, do you harvest the little sister or not? And it's
or
like,
save her. Yeah.
And it's like, huh. Yeah, that is pretty
black and white.
Black and white, and most games are that way, where you have two options. Do you? And then Fable is the most brutally over the top with this, but it's like, here's a baby chick. Do you let it free, or do you eat it? So, or there's times where somebody's like, my house is being robbed, and you can just go into the house and kill the robbers, or just start smashing her stuff for no reason,
steal everything else.
Or in GTA 5, at several of those missions, like, hey, stop this. Stop this purse thief. You can just shoot everybody. You
technically just kill that person and run over everyone in the car. But in real life, not exactly the or doesn't work the same way.
I do like when Walking Dead and Wolf Among Us are both good at the unintended consequences of right and wrong. Like, even when something is the right choice, like, you never know what's going to come of it.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's one thing that really hurts the ability to judge right and wrong.
Oh, yeah.
The Witcher kind of does that kind of thing, too, where if you choose one side or the other, it's never, like, you could either save a bunch of...
Do you let the baby chick go or eat it? I let it go. Well, that baby chick was Hitler.
Yeah.
So
that baby grew up and ate this town of people. Like, it's totally gray and... You don't know what the hell
and
is going to
happen. And I'll say that The Walking Dead does that really well. Especially, did everyone here play 400 Days?
No.
Nope.
No.
Oh, what? My girlfriend did, but
there are some points where, like, at the end of 400 Days, it's just like, do you do this or this? And it's like, man, those really feel like they're two wildly different but equally valuable things that lead to totally unique outcomes that I am not going to expect going in. But a majority of games do have the... Press X to improve your morality. Press Y to detract from it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Buttons.
And you'll get Force Lightning or Force Push.
Yes.
Depending on what you pick.
I hate it when game... Like, I think Knights of the Old Republic had that problem where it was like... It's like, if you play the good side, it's like, oh, you get light tingling. Good. Oh, the evil side? Force eviscerate. Just ruin their lives. Force go back to their childhood and blow out their candles before they're able to on their birthday cake. Number two kind of ties back into number four, but hard work pays off. In real life, that is simply not the case. You could practice at something your entire life and still not be as good as someone else.
You'll never amount to anything.
Yeah.
Thanks,
says
Dad.
Ryan's dad.
Yeah.
That's a good... We need a Ryan's dad reference in this one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like in The Sims, you will... It's once you level up to a certain level of like guitar or speech, you get that promotion.
You get
a better job.
Yeah, you're like, I work at a store. I want to be the manager. I'm going to talk into the mirror three nights a week, and now I'm the manager.
Also, like in real life, you forget how to do stuff. Like I used to speak a lot of Italian when I lived in Italy for a while.
What?
I speak almost no Italian now.
Oh,
like,
man.
In a video game, you like level up that progress bar, and you're like, I'm going to know Italian forever.
Mm-hmm. And if you ever get to a point where if some game has like degradation of stats, it would be like you'd look at your stat page and be like, whoa, I'm losing Italian. I should gain it back. I bet there wasn't a point where you're just like sitting there driving one day like, well, just forgot the alphabet. Like, that's gone now. I don't know how to count to 10 anymore.
Yeah.
This sucks.
I need to go ahead to Little Italy and start speaking again.
To level it up.
Now. Raise that bar.
Yeah. But in video games, it pretty much, there are very, and especially like when you have to work really hard in a video game, which in a video game still entails playing a fucking video game.
Yeah.
So you're only working as hard as playing a video game. You usually get like ridiculous rewards, like some crazy item you need or something like that. And number one on the most depressing ways video games are better than real life, you are a good person.
Ah, thanks, Coop.
Not really.
Ah, Jesus.
I could not have meant that any less. So, Lorenzo, what does this one mean?
I don't know. It means that you're like the hero of the game, right? So, like, basically anything you're doing in that game is for the betterment of mankind or whatever.
Yeah, like you're reasoning is just like that's what I complained about in a whole editorial is like the excuses games give you to the like to do the fun thing and then it's like, oh, but you're good. Like Batman, for example, to go back to Batman, he beats the shit out of a ton of cops.
And there's actually a point in the game where Alfred's like, maybe you shouldn't beat up so many cops, and he's like, shut the fuck up, Alfred.
They're worse than the other people. I approve.
Yeah, and
because they're corrupt.
They're basically in the game. You then like right after, almost immediately after that scene, like you secretly observe a meeting of cops or of the SWAT team. It's specifically the SWAT team, but they're going like, all right, so if we go in here and shoot the bat in the head, we'll get all the money. Yeah, let's work for Black Mask. That gangster's right. And then it's them beating a suspect. Not that Batman, like, that was also a scene where Batman, like, prevents a guy from beating up a suspect to get information. Like, Batman holds people up by the neck, tells them, tell me this or I'll kill you. And then, even though he does it, he won't actually kill them, he says that. And then when they're like, please don't hurt me, he's like, wrong. Like, breaks their fucking jaw.
Also, I didn't talk about this in my review, and we'll talk about it later, but Batman is really, really mean to Alfred throughout the entire game. There's a scene in the game where I found a text message I sent Ryan, because Ryan had played through the game also. That was, let me find it real quick. It was, Alfred, Bruce, please stop this. Batman, shut the fuck, you old asshole, I'll kill you, is essentially what he's saying.
What?
I thought that was word for word.
No, there's just scenes where Alfred's like, sir, you're dying. And Bruce is like, I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. Just really upset about any...
Just get this thing over here now and I'll do it. You're not my dad.
Yeah. And there's times
where
it's just
like...
Do you
think I'm some kid?
Yeah. He's like, Alfred, I need you to hack into the police mainframe and open this door. And he's like, sir, the police, do you really think I should do it? Do it, you old man!
Your guys' Batman impressions are the best.
It's pretty much the same as the actual one in the game.
Yeah, I wish that Batman... This is old time. But yeah, also in The Last of Us, they make it very clear, like, well, sure, you have to murder people to steal their belongings, but these guys were cannibals.
Yeah,
you're way better than them.
They do that all the time.
What was it? Is it Sleeping Dogs, where like you kill tons of like kill just tons of people, then they pull you into the police office, and he's like, "Oh, I'm actually an undercover cop," and they're like, "Oh, thank God, it's all okay."
I'll say one of the only
let him back onto the streets.
And the key part of this is that even in a game where you kill 100 cops, the game is going to take you aside, sit you down, and be like, "Listen, we just want to let you know you're doing the right thing.
Yeah,
you are the protagonist. You are a good guy, and you
don't
are a
feel
hero."
Bad.
One of the only games that
don't think too much.
One of the only games that plays with that is Spec Ops: The Line.
Right.
Yeah.
Which really turns that on its head, because it's just like, you're doing this stuff and your character's just like, it's okay. I'm a good guy. I'm doing the right thing. And then the game takes you aside. It's like, listen, you're a monster. Like, the tooltips
like
in that game insult you for being a terrible person. So, but every other game ever does the opposite of that.
But you killed 700,000 people in your last playthrough.
Even God of War, like the God of War series, you are an anti-hero who is killing people, but the gods, it's just like, oh, by the way, Zeus is totally like having sex with his sister and wants to destroy the world because he wants to cover up the fact that he punched you in the face as a child. Like, it just goes so far out of its way to make everyone a worse person than you. Mm-hmm.
He kills everyone he meets except for, I think one of the only people he never killed was the Aphrodite. He does sleep with, he does sleep with Aphrodite.
Yeah, yeah.
But he doesn't kill her. I don't think he kills any of the women he sleeps with, but they're also never named.
That's just
other
smart,
than Aphrodite.
Yeah.
Like, those women don't get to have characters. They're just, you know.
After he completely annihilates the entire human race, he's got to, you know, repopulate it somehow.
Jeez. Don't kill people you sleep with.
Yeah. As a general rule.
It's,
though Grand Theft Auto
the moral
breaks
I
that
got
rule.
Out of God of War.
That's a fair moral.
Yeah.
So that's it for the most depressing top seven we've done in a long time.
Good Lord.
You can check out a new top seven every week on GamesRadar.com, and some of them might be slightly less depressing.
I'm
so
going to throw myself off the top of this building now.
Don't worry. You'll land all right. I promise. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Radio Radar. We've gained a Tom Magrino.
Hi, I'm Tom Magrino.
Do the right one.
Tom Magrino.
Thank you.
The full Tom Magrino.
Yeah. Here's what happened. I feel like my voice is not as gravelly as it used to be because there was
smoke
a period
more.
I smoke less is the problem. But
yeah.
There was a period of time when I was driving.
That's the problem, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was driving into the office every day and singing like a banshee at the top of my lungs. And I feel like it really got my vocal cords.
You need to just gargle
just,
some
like,
gravel.
Pristine state. But that's not happening anymore. So
because you carpool?
I carpool a little bit, but
you're self-conscious.
I mostly take the BART.
Ah,
well, now the BART strikes over. I miss our mornings.
Yeah,
together.
We had some good. Yeah. We had some moments.
Karaoke.
We had three good mornings.
We had three good mornings.
You guys harmonized.
Jamie
together?
Is a big fan of Henry Gilbert.
Oh, really?
Is she?
Oh, that's
yeah.
Nice.
Does well, she cool. drive in with you?
She will.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Well, that's how we get to go in the carpool lane.
Yeah.
Ah.
I need a third. Who else am I going to get? A stranger?
Wait, you can go in with two.
No, not in East Bay.
What?
Yeah, to cross the bridge, you got to have more.
East
really?
Bay, you need three people. It's really, it puts me out.
That's pretty lame.
Yeah.
I've never heard of any.
I'm actually
kind of
glad because, you know, I will pick up hitchhikers on my way.
Vagrants.
No, in Berkeley, there's sanctioned hitchhiking.
There's like that share a ride.
Yeah, the share a ride.
Go on.
No, it's the casual carpool.
Casual carpool.
People will just loiter outside of the BART station and you specify
carpool,
the place, the time, and they just line up and cars come up. They pick up some hitchhikers and then drive into the city. And then they dump them off in the financial district.
I'm floored by this.
Yeah,
that's
how
it's a thing.
It's prevalent.
That's how wonderfully progressive Berkeley is.
Yeah,
it's also why Berkeley has the highest missing person rate.
Yeah.
In any city in the world.
It can be dicey. I mean, there are some people that you really don't want to get a ride from. Like
casual.
I got this guy from. I once rode here in a. What is those metros? Those little tiny cars.
Geo Metro.
A Geo Metro driven by this like super sketchy looking dude from Vallejo. He had hair down to his knees.
Could you deny getting in? Could just be like, actually, I'm not going to go with you.
Like, is it a picker chooser situation?
You should have been like, actually, I have to go to the restroom. I'll be back. Somebody else can take this one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. But the worst, the absolute worst, are like the 50-year-old women.
Oh.
Because every single time, they will either explicitly say, hey, give me a donation. Like, I know this is supposed to be free, but I want a dollar if I'm going to take you across for the toll. Or they'll do even better, a passive-aggressive, just put up a sign. Like either
a
on
sign?
The back. Yeah, it'll be on, like, on the back of your seat or on the window. Sometimes they'll tap on it when you get in the car. They are abrasive.
That is
Do they
odd.
Have signs up to say, like, gas, ass, or grass?
No, I've never seen
You guys know what I'm talking about.
Those forms
I'm
of payment.
Gas,
that phrase.
Ass, yeah. Or
those
grass.
Are the three ways you can pay. That was the saying in the Hitchhikers in the 70s. Like, ass, gas, or grass. Like, you got to either pay for gas, have weed, or we have
or
sex.
Give us
or give me that
your
ass.
Ass.
Get that ass.
Gotta get that ass. I don't know.
Right, so, so do you get rides primarily, or do you give rides?
I'm a giver.
Okay. Giver?
I give.
Very good. Yeah,
you don't receive very often?
I don't receive very often.
Oh.
I like to be in control. Uh-huh.
Oh, that definitely sounds like you.
That yeah. sounds like Tom, yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't yeah. like to.
Ass, grass, or gas.
Well, how often do you play as a top in league?
Yeah.
I explicitly
You prefer top.
You only top in league.
I specialize in top.
The worst is I not only go bottom, but I support bottom, yeah. which is like that's the bottom on bottom.
Your job is basically to cup the balls.
Oh. So you're a power bottom.
Yeah, power.
Sloppy.
You're a power
Sloppy
bottom.
Party bottom.
Shelf bottom.
Oh, God.
Let's move on to the news. And with that... Jump into the news story that we broke today.
Yeah,
this
we
is
did.
A good segue.
Yeah,
that Hollander Cooper is a power bottom.
Yeah.
I think it's
so
a good
intern,
segue with the
Donnie
porn
Tarrant
connection.
Was listening to a Porn Stars podcast. And.
You go, Donnie.
And let me just pull up the clip while you guys dance around it.
Well, her name is Asa Akira.
Asa Akira.
What's the name of the podcast?
Asa Pasa.
DVD Asa.
DVD
Asa.
Asa.
So DVDA is that from it's that
I have
South
it up.
Park guys. What
right.
Were,
they had a band called DVDA.
Yeah.
I have no idea what this is.
You don't know what that stands for?
No.
Should we say it or should
I don't know
show
if we
them
can
on my screen?
Say it.
Here, I'll
double
show.
Vaginal.
Okay.
Double anal.
Two in okay. each.
Right.
Or as Lorenzo calls it, Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I just didn't know the terminology.
I'm just like misreading it by one letter.
That's the porn star.
Changes yeah. the context.
Oh, I wish you never looked at it again.
Is in New York City.
That big movie. Still can't talk about it.
What movie?
No, I've said five times.
Cover up.
I've said like five times.
There's a lot of stuff.
Wait, that's what you guys have meant this whole time by saying that big movie?
Yeah. Well, no, I just say it fucking around.
Oh.
Well, see, if you're on my Instagram right now, I'll delete you for explaining your joke.
They're getting to it.
So Money Mark is in New York right now.
I'm going to start writing on your Instagram, ass.
Wait, are we allowed to talk about it?
He's part of Grand Theft Auto.
Well, I guess that answers it.
Yeah. I guess we're allowed to talk about it.
How is that a secret? He's playing in the Grand Theft Auto band.
I don't know, maybe.
In a game that's out right now.
Oh, no, but it's for the 6 months.
Oh.
Slowly break that.
Is that a secret?
I don't know. Well,
is this a live stream?
Critter, why do you think it's a secret?
Oh, okay.
Did he say it was a secret?
I thought he said something about that.
No, I think he's in New York.
Well, maybe just text him and ask him.
No, 100% he's in New York recording for it right now. But right. The game's already out, and I think this is for the 6 month re-release.
Yeah, for the update thing.
Oh, all right.
Well,
made a public announcement.
All right. So I just made a public announcement. Money Mark is playing with the Grand Theft Auto band in New York, and he went out there and he found out that their big DVD.
Oh, I thought it was called the Grand Thievery Band. I thought it was for something else.
What the fuck are you talking about?
So they're just doing our job for us now.
Right.
That's,
we'll just play the rest of that.
So the thing I love about this podcast is I forget it's in the story, but it's described as like a podcast designed to be giving like sex and relationship advice. And it's hosted by a goddamn porn star. Like, yeah. What are you going to learn of practical value from a porn star?
She has a little bit of a different outlook, I think, than most people.
I think it's going to somewhat be warped in terms of reality.
It's like Loveline, kind of. With Loveline. With Dr. Drew. He has porn stows on everyone. But he's you know, a doctor. So
right.
It's kind of reputable.
He tries to maintain reality.
Right.
But
this is just a porn star.
This is just a porn star. Yeah.
Well, it's those other guys. Who are these other dudes on it?
I have no idea.
Oh,
but
he's in New York right now.
Well, they're probably porn stars as well.
Nah. I actually never listened to the way end of this conversation. I'm kind of tempted to figure out where it's going.
The porn star?
So, yeah, and you're playing on your phone, fuckface.
He's reading the notes.
I'm reading the notes, dipshit.
You dipshit.
One time was awesome, the all of second these... time where it's...
All right, never mind. I don't want to listen to this anymore.
All of these phrases that they use just have a different connotation when a porn star says
but the real dipshit. In this video, they talk about a six-month re-release version of
right,
game. So...
Yeah, back to this, yeah.
We're talking about here.
What do you think that is?
I mean, it's just like the Borderlands 2 Game of the Year edition. It's now the GTA 5 Game of the Year edition. It's going to have all of the DLC
for that. Yeah. But there's been no DLC announced. But
yet,
if they're recording music for it, I wonder how far the DLC should be pretty far along at this point, wouldn't you think?
PC version with additional content, maybe?
Yeah, maybe the put out a PC version along
or a next gen version.
Yeah. I still don't believe they'll do a next gen version.
If they're doing if they're doing a PC version, it's almost like a why not do a next gen version.
I suppose so, but I think they like having the impact of like no, this GTA, the next GTA, totally new GTA they put out will be the first on a next gen console.
That's true.
It's just a solid like port, anyways.
Yeah. But it would be kind of weird if it's just like if they would have released San Andreas HD. 6 months after the current gen started, there would have been less of an impact when the first real HD one comes out.
I think that's a choice Rockstar would prefer to make. I guess it also depends on like how much Take-Two can choose. I bet Take-Two would love them to put out an HD one next year. But
yeah, but at the same time, I mean, Take-Two has to at least partially look at the numbers and be like, huh, we listened to what they wanted to do. And the game made $1 billion in a day.
By waiting 5 years, it made $1 billion in one day.
Like, so there has to be a certain level of like, well, that they obviously know what they're doing. But so, Tom, what do you think? Do you think it's next gen? Do you think it's just the Game of the Year edition?
I think it's the Game of the Year edition. I think.
What do you think they're going to do for DLC? I mean,
If we look at what they did for Jesus Christ,
GTA 4.
Yeah, GTA 4. They had like the Shadow of the Damned. They had
Ballad of Gay Tony.
Ballad of Gay Tony. Not Shadows of the
Lost and Damned.
Lost and Damned, thank you. So they just had like these few hour long campaigns that were additional missions, and they'll probably. What was the delay between those?
I'm looking
Assassin's
that up
Creed
right
4?
Now.
I feel like it was about
it was like 2 or 3 months between each.
So the game released on the 29th of April in 2008. Mm-hmm. The DLC hit almost a full year later.
Oh, wow.
It took him a long time.
Yeah,
long.
February 2009, and then April 2010.
Well,
or, I'm sorry, October 2009.
Huh.
So that's the reason I'm kind of skeptical about it being a DLC thing, because they're going to wait at least 6 months for each one, unless they're going to wait 6 months, release the game with one of them, and then 6 months later release the game with two of them.
That would sell them a lot more boxed copies, that's for sure.
That is how you milk. I mean, because Take-Two at this point, like, they know that they can milk that franchise. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense that they'd be building a strategy around milking that franchise.
Well, they re-released the hell out of GTA 4.
Yeah, yeah.
They put out didn't they put out episodes of Liberty City as its own disc, like not as a complete GTA 4 experience, but as its own disc? I feel like they did.
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah,
I remember. But I think just the fact that who is this guy, Marky Mark? Because Marky Mark is going to be in this game, it kind of implies that it's going to be more than just the same old game. It seems like there's new.
If they're recording new music, it means. Well, I mean, theoretically,
is it? So that was one thing I didn't understand.
He's part of their band.
Oh, okay.
That's all we know.
It's not.
But what it could be is, I mean, we've talked before about what we wanted from the GTA DLC, and something that I'd be cool with is just some new heists, and that would just be. They would just need new music for.
Do
new
you think
heists.
They would just release more heists?
So
I feel like they would.
The
put
thing
it...
about heists is that. They are like a heist could be a 4-hour, 5-hour long mission. Mm-hmm. And if they're really good with full voice acting and they were like for $5 and you get a
$5, are you kidding?
Well, $5 for a heist, or let's say it comes with two heists.
Bucks.
Like, let's say it's two heists and another mini mission chain for $15.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would probably, in the end of the day, that sounds like less work than how much they like making an entire like miniature campaign like they did for Lost and Damned and Gay Tony. Mm.
And they did, and I'm looking now, episodes from Liberty City, they added new radio stations. So if they were doing something like
That's right. Yeah, I remember those new radio stations. They were great for setting the mood of the different games.
Exactly.
Really, I just want to turn on that radio and hear some more Bob Seger. Working on the night moves.
My favorite became the country station you first hear in Trevor's.
Yeah,
I love that fucking song.
Yeah, you do.
I like hearing
Bob Seger. Bob Seger is the man.
I forget who the singer was of it, but the one called like I don't think Hank would do it this way about
Hank Williams.
Don't think Hank could do it this way.
Probably Johnny Cash.
Whenever we start singing, it just gets really quiet because we get embarrassed.
Would do it this way.
Johnny Cash is from. I'm a big Johnny Cash fan. I remember it was him.
Yeah.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Cross the deserts, bear, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Traveling, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Can you do the like that?
I've been to Arizona.
Wisconsin, every truck stop. I don't know.
I can do a better Johnny Cash than that.
I mean, I'm waiting.
Hit us with it.
Moving on.
Keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine.
Not bad.
Keep going.
I walk the line.
I'll say it. Hank has a good Johnny Cash voice.
Yeah. Nice. You need to release like your own album.
I would listen acoustic to that. I'll walk the
that,
line.
For Christmas, you should release.
We should at least do a parody of those old commercials. Like, Henry Gilbert sings the hits.
I like how you're saying that's the least. We should at least put a ton of effort into a parody commercial about Henry singing songs.
I miss those commercials on TV.
Where we just scroll like all the songs.
30 songs and you just hear one of them.
I can't remember the name of the.
They were highlighted in like orange, the one that was you were currently hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Classic. Now kids today with their iTunes.
Search boxes.
Concern it. Bunch of kids.
So the PlayStation 4.
Go on.
Is there no pause button? Is this what this is telling me?
Well, not pause.
So when they revealed the system, one of the big things was you're in the middle of playing Killzone. Your fucking wife walks in because it was super dude bro-y, and it's like she's like, I want to watch Desperate Housewives.
I want to have
right
sex
now.
Right now.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I can't. I'm
playing this video game. You could just be like, you could be like, turn the system off, and the system would go off entirely. And then later you come back and you're like, man, I just got done having sex with my wife. On back exactly where I was. But that is not going to be available at launch.
Oh, man.
Neither your wife nor this feature.
I think a lot of this stuff is going to – I feel like over the next 2 weeks we're just going to hear more and more stories of like, well, this will be in an update by December. Like, all these from both Microsoft and Sony.
Prediction to make?
And your wife.
We are in this office, we have no cynicism towards next gen. We are genuinely excited.
Yeah.
It's going to be a huge
excited.
Clusterfuck. Mm-hmm. And you're all going to be miserable. Mm-hmm. Like, this is going to go very,
it's gonna be
very poorly. And the next few months are going to be terrible.
Hmm. But
exciting.
Come March.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I expect consoles having huge technical problems.
Uh-huh.
Not the games. The games will be fine.
Well.
Fine.
Ish.
Fine-ish. There are going to be huge technical problems with, like, overheating. Nothing that you expect to be ready is going to be ready.
Terrible lag.
Oh, yeah.
Red rings of death.
I'm expecting, like, the day before, and they're just like, so don't bother hitting the share button for a few weeks.
She's not going to do anything.
It
will break.
Loading times will be longer than they say.
Yes, everything will be sorted out quickly.
You won't be able to actually buy one because they'll
be sold out.
It's not
actually available.
I think the funny thing, I bet you, like the share button, you just joked, like it's not like it'll be disabled. I bet you there's going to be a time where, like, it is causing some kind of lag, and they're like, so we've just disabled all social features for the next 2 weeks.
Right.
You don't need to share anything in December anyway. Just come
on. Ooh, that thing where you jump into your – you take over for your friend? Mm-hmm. Not no. making – no way that's making
that
launch.
That won't work.
I'd like if Microsoft would – at the last minute, they'll say, like, so used games don't work, but it's only for the first month. We'll get it figured out,
they've,
guys.
They've said it's a day one patch already, yeah. I think. So all of these things are going to be – there's going to be a day one patch. Then there's going to be a day six patch. And then there's going to be a day nine patch. And you're going to be – you might as well have an always online system with how often you're going to be downloading fixes from how
well,
slapdash –
that's the PS3 already, isn't it?
Kind
yeah.
of.
Well, yeah. With how slapdash and last minute this is all coming together, like –
it's
I don't. There
really,
are also
like, we don't have a PS4.
Yeah, there are things that we're not allowed.
We don't have an Xbox.
There are things
one.
That Tom was going to say anyway, but that we are not allowed to talk about. Probably
we don't have those things.
Yeah, we don't have them. We had a Wii U by now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nintendo. Yeah. All things can. We were making fun of Nintendo at the time. Right now, Nintendo had their shit together. In a good way compared to what we're looking at for other next
I don't,
gen.
Yeah. I haven't been told this is embargoed at all.
We probably shouldn't say
oh,
it.
Wait,
we're not getting a PS4 until the week it comes out. By the way, Sony is located 20 minutes from here.
Yeah.
Like, literally, their office.
Their headquarters.
In Foster City.
And also,
brand new
California
headquarters
is the home of a lot of game journalists.
Of life.
It's the cradle of life, I believe
it's
called.
Who's...
Another plus for Nintendo at this time last year was, like, they had a local event in Japantown, which was awesome. Like, it was just cool to be in Japantown in San Francisco.
Did you get
but
your car broken into?
No, oh, I didn't.
Dude,
I don't
Japantown
have a
is
car.
The worst.
I don't have a car.
All right.
So I just got to be soaking up Japanese-ness around me. But anyway.
It's probably very lovely.
But they're like, hey, here's Nintendo Land. Here's New Mario. Show up whenever you feel like it and play. And if you want to stay all day, both days, and play all of them and to do your review, then consider this a review event.
Yep.
And that's exactly what I did. Yeah. It was so fun. And I got to – there were some moments where with the Nintendo PR reps, I was like, hey, do you see I found that secret exit, huh? What do you think? Come on, guys. Like they were like, oh, yeah, cool.
Way to go.
Yeah. And then when I beat the game, I was like, huh, see that?
We know you don't matter.
Have like, some more sake.
It's like, see that? I was the first. I mean, I'm the first person outside Nintendo to beat this game, right? 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 And they would not look up from their laptops. No, they gave me a cursory, like, "Oh, good for you."
Yeah.
And they put their headphones back on.
Charles Martinet trots out and gives you a pat on the back.
I wish that would happen. So far, like nothing like that has happened around here.
Yeah.
Oh, the Charles Martinet thing, yeah. He seems sad to me now. After the Conan O'Brien one, where he just like. In the Conan O'Brien E3 video, he meets Martinet. He's like, do you have a wife? He's like, no, but I got another princess. Ooh, yeah, Melania.
Oh, yeah.
Conan's like, you have to stop this.
It was so sad.
Stop. Yeah.
It was really depressing. I remember talking about that a while
he
ago.
He only lives to be Mario.
Yeah.
I mean, the man has joy in his heart. I don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
But who am I to judge?
You give random people rides into work.
I do.
You can find
some joy
there.
I don't even charge
there.
Them.
I've met him from afar.
Ass, grass,
there's,
or what was the other word?
Right.
Ass?
Gas.
Yeah. It's only ass or grass.
Yeah, you
don't accept
gas. I don't bother with gas. Gas is fine.
Boy, I had an exciting week this week, guys, that this can also just kind of segue into our previews after this, but... So, I got to interview Miyamoto asterisk because
it's an asterisk
asterisk.
That's a Pokemon.
Well, asterisk is that's the
children's
Norwegian
cereal.
Comic book character. Anyway, so I got to I was invited to meet to go to a round table with. That Shigeru Miyamoto would be at from Nintendo, and they would also be showing one more demo of Super Mario 3D World. And I was like, hell yeah, even one question with Miyamoto at a roundtable would be awesome. And then when we got there, Sophie and I both went because we thought, oh, if we're both on the roundtable, we can both ask a question.
Right.
Yeah, and then when we got there, they immediately were like, oh yeah, we're setting up the teleconference now, and I was like... They didn't not say it would be a teleconference, but I feel like they let me assume
right.
all I wanted that Miyamoto would be there. So Yeah, we had
you Skyped with Miyamoto.
We had a video conference with Miyamoto and two other people, Mr. Motokura and Mr. Koizumi, both high-level dudes on Super Mario 3D World. And then we had an hour with Miyamoto over teleconference from Kyoto. He spends a half hour of it talking about the game or just presenting the game to us. And we each got to ask him a question. So I asked, this was with other journalists there, my question was about would they consider doing HD remakes and of previous Mario games, because we had to stay. They were very clear, like, this is a Mario interview. Ask about Mario. So that's like, would they do an HD remake of Mario? And his answer basically boiled down to, if we want to, we would. But he did say that they would rather do it with, like, different outsider companies, different partners, and that they wanted to, if they were to do it, they would want to find new things to do with the Wii Remote, not just make it prettier, just like they did with Wind Waker. But I think I think underneath it all is that they definitely do want to. I think they're planning an HD Mario of some sort. Though I wonder if it would be Galaxy or Sunshine. That I'm not sure. But yeah, I think the unspoken thing there was like they are working. It wasn't just like they would want to work with a third party. They are like that. That's my inference into that.
So you'd probably want Galaxy.
Well. I feel like between the only ones it could be would be either Galaxy or Sunshine. And Galaxy's better than Sunshine. It already looks pretty good.
Yeah.
So give it a little, make it widescreen and 1080p, like kaboom, blammo, kapow. You got a big hit. Though I don't know what they would do to, you need the Wii Remote and Nunchuck. If they were to make it like add new stuff for the gamepad, I'm not really sure what they would do.
They could just make it so the only reason you need those is because of the times where you need to like point them at the screen to pick up little star things.
Well, no, there are some stages where it's more like a mini game, and they find new ways to use the remote. Like it was definitely made with a remote in mind.
Yeah, I think they could figure out some kind of other solution.
Yeah,
they're Nintendo for crying out loud. That's what they do.
Yeah, they like to think of new ideas. So it was cool for as disappointing it may have been to realize I would not be in the same room with Miyamoto. It was cool. It was cool to ask him a question and have him respond, like him to
acknowledge your existence.
Yeah, just to have him acknowledge my existence was cool.
And how was the game? What they showed?
This is us going into the preview section.
Wait! Before we do that, what happened to the headline, man?
What? I feel like the HD Miyamoto thing.
That was hilarious.
It was funny.
What was the old headline?
What was the headline?
It was like an HD Shigeru Miyamoto tells us if HD Mario remakes are possible.
Because of the teleconference.
It was a funnier one, but I feel like when you put in HD Miyamoto, it might confuse some people that it's not Shigeru Miyamoto.
Well, yeah, but
It's
funny.
I know it was funny. I wanted to get out of the way of Shigeru's name. That's all. I
didn't want to taint Shigeru Miyamoto's name with an HD.
Well, I did have I didn't do this out of like being a starry-eyed fanboy, but when I came back for the Nintendo thing, I kept referring to him as Mr. Miyamoto.
That was weird.
But it was because like that is the only way Nintendo people, they refer to him. And they said it about like 20 times. So it just kind of like set in like, oh, Mr. Miyamoto, Mr. Miyamoto, Mr. Miyamoto. But so 3D World, the game, it looks better every time I see it. Like it really, I think like E3, it looked lame almost. Or not lame, but everybody was just like, it's a four-player Mario game. They're new Super Mario Brothering up 3D World, if I may use that as a
you may.
Verb.
Full permission.
But then I had like some solo fun with it in the last demo.
Solo fun.
Yeah.
Guys. We talked about that last week on the podcast, and Sophia didn't like it.
Wow.
Solo fun. Having solo fun.
Just want to have fun with others.
But this time it was a four-player multiplayer session, which was still pretty cool. Like it brought back a lot of old power-ups we hadn't seen before. Like the Mega Mario power-up was there, which I don't think has ever been in a 3D game. The Tanuki suit. And there's a really cool thing. Like the superstar power has been changed to make it way more fun in multiplayer, because if you grab the invincible star, it is infectious. Just touching another player, bumping into another player, gives them the superstar power, and it can spread to all four.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's a neat change. And they, like, the cat power up is everywhere. Like, there's a cat Bullet Bill now, and a cat Goomba. There's also like a Bullet Bill train that shoots cat Bullet Bills at you. I just got to see a new level of creativity to what they have been creating, like in more varied stages than what they had at E3. And I think it looks a lot better now. I still don't know how it's going to work as a single player game, but I like it. I like it more now. And they also, one more thing, they had a funny story that every time they mentioned the cat power in the round table, the creators of the game, including Miyamoto, would put up their hands in little like fists like a cat would, like with a, you know, bent at the wrist, and then they'd go like meow, meow. So the cat power, meow, meow, meow. And they revealed at the end why they were doing that so much is because they had so in Japan, the onomatopoeia for a cat is meow, N-Y-A-A-A, meow, meow. But, you know, it's meow to, you know, red-blooded Americans. Mm-hmm. But so they
say meow while we wave a flag and shoot foreigners and eat apple pie.
Meow.
But so when...
Over here, meow.
The game, they were thinking of the they're Japanese. They were thinking of the Japanese cat sound. And so then they send the game, the audio to be recorded, the sound effects of Mario and all the others jumping around with their cat powers. They were recorded by Americans in America. So they go, meow. And when they came back, they're like, what's meow? That's what Americans think cats say? And then they kind of like really got into it. They're like, yeah, meow, meow. It was so – they kept, every time the cat power came up, at least one of them would go just move their fists around like a cat and go meow. What it was funny.
What are your thoughts on
– the move is just like you've got two stubs.
It's like you're driving.
Have you ever seen your cat do that though? I'm trying to trying to recollect if I've ever seen Herman do this.
I've seen my cat's knee.
Well, yeah. You know,
my cat will pray.
We're all acting like cats.
Yeah.
I just looked at three. All three of you were doing different cat motions.
I have seen him like lick his paw and then go across his face and stuff. But I haven't ever seen him just like pull one of these.
He'll need.
These are very visual gags, by the way, and nobody is.
I wish everyone could see this right now. The scratching of the heads.
Coop's going to make it happen.
Everything.
Meow.
Oh, jeez.
All right, I'm going to tweet this picture.
But what are all your right, thoughts meow. On Cat Peach?
Well, I actually really like Cat Peach. What's your problem? What's your issue with it?
What is Cat Peach?
Yeah, what the hell
it's
is a Cat Peach?
Princess Peach inner cat power.
In
costume.
A, like, yeah. In a
cat
in
power.
In a cat costume.
Oh, is it
cat power is cat power. Is a life form musician?
I'm a...
Are you?
I was mildly attracted
you're
to
you're a little
it.
Hot and bothered.
To cat power?
To what? Cat Peach.
Oh.
That's weird.
Cat that, power
does that make
hot.
Me
are you
a
one
furry?
Of those?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Dude, what were we doing?
You're a Nintendo furry.
We were looking up animal costumes for this feature that we did today, like 25, whatever.
The dogs.
I typed in something that was like dogs in costume or something like that. Furry Central.
Ooh.
Wow. Lots of furries.
I like Princess Peach's costume. I think it's well designed. They actually...
I do, too.
I got to look this up.
Weird. One of my favorite bits...
Is it this?
I want to see.
Let's see it.
Is it pretty much that?
Oh, is it because she's got a dunk?
Yeah, sort of.
I want to see.
What? Mm. I think that's
weird
well,
to me that you.
My favorite,
I'm mildly attracted to that.
One of my favorite pieces odd. Of art.
I find that as unattractive as any Peach art.
Well, I've
ever
never
seen.
Found Peach attractive.
Well,
and now that she's a cat Peach.
Okay, now that's kind of...
Oh, now that doesn't
Jesus
count.
Christ.
That's fan art.
Let's see
you
it.
You can find tons of sexy fan art of Peach out there.
Yeah.
But that's what you see when you
that's
look at
what
it.
I see when yeah. I see Cat Peach. But, if you see, I need to go have some solo
by
fun.
By the way, if you Google Princess Peach cat costume, the first result is... result is that fake one, and then a few later you can see the real one.
So what I'm
the real deal.
But one of the cool things about this preview too is that they gave us like three pieces of concept art, like that they had drawn of them in the cat costumes, and the Peach one. I thought it was not sexy. I thought it was cute though. Like it was her, like kind of looking off.
How old do you think Peach is? 12.
There was a butterfly on her. There's a butterfly on her tail.
Most little girls are princesses.
What?
That's not accurate.
Well, it is accurate.
Princess Diana.
Most little
was,
girls are princesses.
Princess Diana was their like
daddy's in the
40.
Eyes of their father.
Their daddy's princesses.
As no, in Mario is what, 40?
It's hard to pick.
He's in his
I'd put him early 30s.
You have to imagine that early 30s, Mario 32. And Peach are around the same age, right. And he has a big bushy mustache.
I say he's like 32. She's like 26.
And he's a plumber. You're not going to plumbing school at like 10.
I mean, this is the Mushroom Kingdom. It is known.
He was from Brooklyn in one of the lore.
Oh.
What? She looks grown up. Why would you think she's 12?
Yeah. Where are you getting this, Tom?
The fact that she has no contours whatsoever, except for in fanfic.
You're looking way too close at her.
Or not close enough.
Bring up a most recent Peach.
Look at her in her. All right, look at her character design from Super Mario Sunshine, where she's like or has a top on, a regular top, not her fancy
true.
Dress.
True, like in Brawl, her.
Here's her in Super Mario Strikers.
Her in
not even remotely busty.
Her in tennis.
I would say, I would say within the Mario universe, those are curves. Like
Toad has more curves than tennis.
I don't like where this conversation has gone.
Yeah, Toad's got the dunk.
Yeah, he does.
The dunk. All right, I'm uncomfortable looking this up.
I want to see. Come on.
Let's see it.
She's got nothing. She's a 15-year-old.
Yeah, in the sports games, she looks like she's 12.
Yeah.
Well, she's not. So.
But as a cat.
But.
Meow.
Meow.
All right, we're going to...
And with that,
take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do reviews and the community segment, so stay tuned. Welcome to segment 3. We've lost a Tom Magrino. And been joined by
Lucas Sullivan.
The full Lucas Sullivan.
Welcome, Lucas. You're here.
You do a bad Tom, by the way.
Thank you.
Try it again. Let's hear it again.
No, I'm going to excuse myself now, Craig.
Instead of excusing yourself, can you tell us about the review you did this week for Batman Arkham Origins Black Gate?
I sure can. So this is the Arkham game that is on 3DS and PS Vita. It takes a 2.5D Metroidvania approach, which, I mean, admittedly, all the Arkham games are Metroidvanias.
I'd say,
you can test that.
I'd say there's Metroid. It definitely has Metroid in its DNA, but like
Arkham Asylum more.
Asylum was. Origins did not feel like a Metroid.
Origins loses. There's much less of that in Origins. There's much less of like, I mean, even City had like the you can't open this door until you get the blank, and this game doesn't have that really.
Yeah, I don't think that ever happened to me. Anyways,
Blackgate is it's a pretty brief but enjoyable romp through the Blackgate prison.
It's a romp.
The events take place after Origins, which is kind of interesting, but doesn't really have any impact on the story. It's just an excuse to fight more super.
Yeah, I mean, do you ever interact with the Joker?
You do.
Then it has to be a sequel because the Origins, the big thing is it's his first interaction. So at least just to have that, they had to say it.
But
comes after.
Troy Baker is back doing voices for the handheld version, which I appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good game, not a great game. We gave it a 3.5 out of 5 because the action's pretty good. The exploration is good, but there's not a lot of stealth, and it doesn't end
stealth
up feeling...
Stealth sucks when they try to do it.
I mean, I had mixed experiences, but it doesn't feel as much of a Batman game as the Arkham series tends to.
Sorry, if I'm intruding on this review a lot more because I also reviewed it. I did it for our good friends at computerandvideogames.com.
Computer and video games.
Yeah.
But I gave it a 6 for them, and... It felt like a good Metroidvania. Like if someone's like, I hear these Metroidvania games are cool. Like, what one should I try? You know, Symphony of the Night would be a good one to point them to, but it's really
pretty
big,
pretty complex.
So this would be a good one to start with.
It's though, a gateway Metroid.
There was something else I had a problem with it because of the 2.5D stuff. Like. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I lost track of where I was.
Yeah.
Because you'll walk and you'll then turn a corner and walk another way. But technically, as far as the map is concerned, you just moved right or moved up or
the
something.
The mini map is like a bunch of right angles.
Yeah. It's
a bit confusing at times.
Uh huh. And when a game demands backtracking, like a Metroidvania does, I also do like it. It just gives you like, here are three wings of the prison. Go which to which one you want to.
Yeah, which I don't think the other Arkham games, you can't really do that, right?
No,
like,
no.
There are a million objectives you could be doing, mm-hmm. but this is the first one where it's like, do the levels in whatever order you want.
But that's also kind of why the story is weaker, too, I'd say, because they yeah. can't.
They're pretty much isolated areas.
Yeah, and then also I didn't like that. Well, she was okay. Catwoman, like, you meet Catwoman for the first time, and she becomes your Alfred in this game. Like,
which is a little weird.
She's always saying, like, well, Batman, I hear that there's a weapon dump in that room. You better go there.
The hostages.
The hostages, saving. Yeah.
Go
we're
here.
Not going to get out of here. I also like that they, no, first off, that she gets sent to Blackgate, a woman. She just gets sent to Blackgate after she's arrested. And then when you show up, she's in her full Catwoman costume.
I mean, I think she explains.
She's like, when I stopped to get my costume, yeah. I was planning to leave. I was like, why didn't you just get the fuck out of there? Put on your costume at home.
But in conclusion, it's a good game, not a great game. Still worth playing if you're a Batman fan.
All right. And Henry, you and I also played Batman Arkham Origins No Blackgate.
That is weird, too, that it's Batman : Arkham Origins Blackgate. Like, there's
they
no,
needed
I feel
the
like
Arkham
there should
in
be
there.
A second colon there after Origins. Or
yeah.
a hyphen.
So, everyone needs a second colon.
Yeah.
Regular Origins.
Regular Origins. I reviewed that for GamesRadar. You also reviewed that for
computer and video games.
We found CVG.
Henry's in their pocket right now.
Yeah. In the pocket of big computer and video games.
They're owned by Future as well, but the game is pretty good. A lot of people expected when you looked at it, you're like, huh, I bet that's just Arkham City, except not nearly as good. And that's pretty much it.
That's a true statement.
Yeah, it takes place in Gotham, mm-hmm. technically.
What?
But Gotham in Arkham Origins is essentially as empty. It's as empty as civilians. I'd say more empty.
Detroit.
Of civilians than Arkham City was, because Arkham City still had like the political prisoners mm-hmm. that were like, I don't know why I'm here. I was just I'm a regular guy thrown in jail. This has no civilians except for hostages in specific missions.
I feel like I met like four or five homeless guys who were like, hey man, anarchy talks for us, buddy. We don't listen to you.
Yeah, but those were at least anarchy thugs by that point, and you could beat them up.
That's true.
And you should, because anarchy was dumb.
And the homeless should be beaten.
Yeah. if you were to beat up the homeless, it'd be really fun.
Hobo beating.
Because the combat in the game is super good.
DLC.
The addition of electric Hulk hands.
they are Hulk hands, aren't they?
Yeah. And the game was made by the Hulk. Warner Brothers team is essentially Hulk.
Well, they rebuilt it underneath the guy who was Radical. Was that the name of that group?
I think so.
The guy who was in charge of Hulk and Prototype, once that got shut down, his new job was to head up Montreal and this Batman game. But it's so that, yeah, the electro gloves make some sense. I always think they're kind of like game-breaking.
They would be game-breaking if not for the fact that... So essentially, they turn every hit into pretty much like a one-hit knockout, mm-hmm. even people who have shields or whatever, but
they
the game
break through
throws...
All shields.
Yeah. The game throws so many more enemies at you than you've ever had to fight. There'll be times where there's just like 30 guys all running at
that's
you.
That's a lot of guys.
That's kind of weak.
That's
a lot of guys.
But when that does happen... If you have the electric Hulk hands, you just turn them on, and then you just essentially are just like hitting each person once, and they just start going flying. It's a good, like... The Batman games have always had a minor issue of, at the way beginning of the game, you're pretty much as strong as you ever need to be. Like, you have... Mm-hmm. I mean, you may get more gadgets, but you're still just like, hit, counter. At this point, it is the good, like... It's like in Half-Life 2 when you get the super-powered gravity gun. This game has that moment where you're mm-hmm. like... All right, now you
I'm
can just destroy people. And they do it. It's like 5 hours before the end of the game. So you have a lot of time to Hulk hands people. I'd say the story might be the most surprising element, because the story was actually – I thought it was genuinely surprising.
Yeah, I would say so too. It has some really good moments. I think they did a good misdirect of just even at the start of the game, the whole setup – Batman goes, Black Mask has hired 8 people to kill me. I have to stop him.
And
time to go to Gotham.
Yeah, let's. And without spoiling things, they just do a good job of doing some nice twists that you wouldn't expect, and there are some moments that are almost the best moment in any Batman game, mm-hmm. if not for the fact that they're just really poorly done.
They all have like a little one little thing, and they're like, oh, if you just change this.
Like, there's a segment that's just a really good, emotional, thought-provoking segment, and they're like, And it's essentially like the segments in the other games where it's like you walk slowly through an interesting thing that's happening, like an interactive cutscene. Mm. But they're like, what if we made it a really, really bad side-scrolling platformer section minute?
There should be a little challenge to this, right?
Yeah, like, and it's like, oh, I'm trying to get into this moment and I've just fallen off a ledge that I didn't know was there.
I guess I'll restart it and have this lose most of its impact.
Yeah. So the scene
is really cool.
It is.
We still haven't
talked about that. We should talk about that after the podcast.
Yeah.
But overall, and there's also multiplayer. It is exactly what you think it is. It's fine. You're going to play it like a few times and be like, huh, I'm surprised that that doesn't suck. And then you'll never play it again.
You made a good point, though, Coop, of like if one person leaves, the whole thing is just totally unbalanced.
Yeah. It doesn't really work out great. But it's fun. It's 3-on-3 shooter, and then two people play as Batman, and playing as Batman is fun. The level design throughout the game is bad, and in the multiplayer, it's just as bad.
Level design. I'd say the outdoor. Well, also you talked about feature bloat, and I definitely agree with that. I think on the world map, the stuff outside of the campaign to do, like there are some fun ones. I like the ones that involve chasing a villain. But once you run out of chasing a villain, like most of them are, if they're not a Riddler trophy. There's other Riddler
data
things.
Cache or something.
But if it's not that, then it's go to this place, beat up 20 guys, and then grab the thing.
Or blow
or
up
destroy
the thing.
Yeah,
it's very... I mean, it knows how good the basic gameplay is, and it exploits that a lot, and that's fine. But it runs into the problem where, like, that stuff is genuinely fun just because the game is fun, but whenever you have to kind of walk outside of that line, it kind of... It doesn't crumble, but it strains because they just keep giving you more items. Some people have pointed out that in Batman's early years, he did carry too many items as part of a plot. He was overprepared, but that doesn't make for compelling gameplay. I'd get lost so much indoors because I'd be like, well, which of my 20 objects am I supposed to use? Oh, I'm supposed to use the gel and then the grapnel gun to get out of here.
But there are some cool boss fights in it, though none. I kept seeing all these moments in it where I was like, well, this is cool, but the exact same thing was in City, and they did it better.
Right.
And I was just feeling like they added this because City had it. Not because they thought it would be a good segment, but because it checked off a list like, well, City did this. Like,
overall, it's good. I gave it a 4 out of 5. Considered going a little lower, but I realize a lot of the problems are more disappointments than actual problems. But even with those disappointments, it's still not – it's not amazing. It's just really, really fun. It does a good job of making you feel like Batman, as good of a job as the previous games. Yeah. And the story is engaging. I'd say if you're an Assassin's Creed fan, it's the Assassin's Creed Revelations of the series. It's not the Assassin's Creed 3.
I thought Revelations had a fun story. Well, not fun story, but a good story that paid off.
Yeah, it's essentially that, except Batman.
Though I don't agree with you. After beating the game, Lucas, I do not agree with you. I think Troy Baker is on his way. Like, he could someday be a better Joker than Mark Hamill, but I currently still prefer Mark Hamill as a Joker voice.
I wouldn't say Troy Baker's better.
Ryan's the one that says better.
Oh, really?
I say as good because he has a different take on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do like that compared to Roger Avery Smith's Batman.
Oh, you mean Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. I forgot he was... Yeah, I always think of him as Ezio, but he is Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. So, that's it for the reviews. You can check out the reviews, and be sure to read them, because they're fun reviews, and we have a new style for our reviews that you should definitely
take a
look at. So, before we jump into the regular community segment, let's go ahead and...
Take my advice, do as I say, save a little money for a rainy day.
We have some game deals. If you pre-order Battlefield 4 or COD Ghosts from Dell,
What?
Dude, you're getting
They are $60, my dad but said. You get a $25 gift card, and you can get it for any
to
of
Dell?
The SKUs. Yes. ThinkGeek has two really cool Legend of Zelda wall clings that are pretty cool. Green Man Gaming has Brother, A Tale of Two Sons for $7.50.
That's
half off.
$7.50, oh man.
It was $15 originally.
We gave that game a $4.
And you get a gift card to Dell.
The funky hummus.
Green Man Gaming like also has PC download of BioShock Infinite for $13.59.
Good lord. They are just giving that 13. Game away these days.
And Amazon knocked down Injustice's price by like $10 on all SKUs. The Wii U version is $36.
Well, that's all to prepare for the Ultimate Edition that comes out in a couple weeks.
Yeah, they have, that price is going to drop even more. Let's be super,
perfectly
super
honest,
obvious.
Folks.
Let's be
real. Super. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Was that like supposed to be?
No, <Nope. laughs> totally unintentional. So let's jump into. Do we have any corrections? I don't think so. Do we? So we got the community segment with I've heard Greg is involved in this. You're involved with the community segment.
Oh, yes. And it is on Coop's computer, so let me get that. Okay, so Duffer had a really good one.
That was the question of the week.
Duffer, oh, sorry, Lucas.
Yeah.
It was what was your favorite moment of the generation. Last generation?
Uh-huh.
Or this generation?
Uh-huh.
The next generation.
Oh, TNG.
Picard. Mm. Engage.
My favorite moment of the next generation would have to be...
When the ship is sending him the memories of the planet and he's playing the flute.
go on.
I like more than one where it's like Die Hard on the Enterprise, and like Picard is the last one left on the ship.
Holy,
and
oh yeah!
Try to steal the ship.
He ends up in the turbo lift tubes. And
yeah.
All
that. Wait, with the kids, or was that a different one?
That's a different one.
Okay,
in the turbo lift tubes.
We don't have a lot of time.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
So anyways, Duffer sent an awesome one that was very Christmas related. It had a nice little story and a song to play back while I read the intro. We're gonna hold on to that one,
okay,
for a little Christmas episode,
oh, ooh.
December 25th.
So look forward to that.
That is Christmas, yes.
Let's see. Iron Arm said, "My favorite memory or favorite moment of this generation was Metal Gear Solid 4. It brought a perfect end to Solid Snake's story. It's one of the few video games that had me weeping at the end. Finally, gonna get to play it all the way through. All the twists and turns was more perfect than I could have imagined. Solid Snake's journey lasted through 3." Separate console generations, and he truly went out with a bang.
Did he not actually see the ending of the game? Because that's not what happens.
Well, that's what he thought.
People would rather he killed himself than what the real ending was.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, so we all just shit on his idea.
Well, no, it's weird because it's like before the game came out, there were like cutscenes that showed off like he's going
to
kill himself
like,
at
yeah,
the end of the game.
Stick in the gun.
But
to
then
his
in
head.
The game, he just. At the end, he's like, "I'm still here. I'm fine." Like, there's no bang. Like, there's literally not a bang that I don't know what he's referencing.
Project Alpha,
Solid Snake,
said, "My favorite moment of the generation Batman. Was taking Pokemon Y home on October 12th and beating it on October 12th."
What?
Wow, that's a rough one.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Is that even possible?
He did it in. A single day.
If he did it in a midnight launch to midnight, 24 hours, if you only focused on going to the 8 gym leaders, I suppose.
Yeah. I think I beat it in 30-something hours, so yeah. I guess, and I lollygagged, as it were.
Tony Wilson, my favorite moment is only sending my Xbox 360 for repairs once, and not for a red ring. I was playing Rock Band when I unplugged the controller and pulled the whole USB dock out with it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Other than that repair, I've been on the same 360 since mid-2007.
Hmm. Yeah, I've...
That's pretty good deal.
Actually, that's about as long as I've had mine. It did red ring once, but it's been the same. I bought it for Halo 3, as many people did in 2007.
I had a friend who was obsessed with Halo, like diehard obsessed. Every every video game name he has, like his username was always Halo related, and he worked at GameStop with me at the time. And when he got home that night, his Xbox Red Ring from the midnight release. And I think he actually like he was so grumpy he didn't get around to playing the game for like a month.
Oh, I bet.
In 2006, I didn't buy any new system. That was the one system launch where I just didn't get any system on launch day because I just moved and didn't have a job yet. So.
Good excuse.
Lord Zarlon said, I'm sure everyone is going console, but my moment is when Kerrigan went back to being a Zerg in StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm.
Oh, yeah, she wasn't human for long.
An entire game's worth of redemption brought to nothing in a single moment.
She retained some of her
Spoilers for Heart of the Swarm.
Spoiler alert.
That's only been out for like 6 months.
It
wasn't that intense. Boom, boom,
ba-dum. Spade Slick. My favorite moment of this generation had to be when I heard my first beep and saw a little achievement unlocked icon pop up on the bottom of my screen. That was the start of a wonderful twisted addiction to the likes of which have not been seen since a teacher decided to cook meth one day.
Ooh.
I wouldn't call it a beep. I would call it a plink.
Oh, it's a bleep, he said. B-L-E.
I'll give him a
bleep. I'm gonna bleep.
Yeah. Tranquil Bees 34. The 2010 E3, where Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft all put out their A games at respective press conferences, even though Microsoft had that weird Kinect reveal, every game announced or shown at E3 were incredibly impressive. Even got coverage of it thanks to a little podcast on his Talk Radar. Happy face. Thought you'd enjoy that.
2010 night. Might be one of the might have been the best E3 of this generation.
And the winner this week is Banquo's stepson. My favorite moment of this generation happens to be when my friend beat the Borderlands story. He was towards the end when I warned him that the ending was kind of disappointing. He just shrugged it off and continued on. A couple hours later, I walk into his room as he's beating the game. As soon as the cinematic ends, my friend, who is rather spherically large for a man, quickly mutters, "Are you serious? Are you fucking serious?" And then he throws a fit that involves him pacing back and forth in anger, throwing about pillows and other unimportant things around his small dorm, and proclaiming, "That is the shittiest ending ever made!" Meanwhile, his roommate and I are laughing hysterically at the scenes as I try to get out a, "I warned you." The whole scene ended in a desk chair flipped over, pillows everywhere, and him sulking over to the internet to cool down from the funniest bits of nerd rage I've ever seen.
Nice.
So congratulations. You are the winner this week.
I feel like you should share his prize with that guy.
Borderlands 2.
I'm going to send him a copy of Borderlands 2.
Which also is stupid.
Yeah, I'm so pissed at Borderlands. Lucas and I played for maybe, what, 20
19 hours?
19 hours.
In total. And
I really enjoyed it for the first 15 hours, and then that game really needed to end.
It's because we were playing faster than we were leveling, so by the end, we were facing, you know, level 32 boss, and we're level 28, and we do, like, one damage per bullet.
But the game was so long. I wanted it to end so many times.
And we only did story quests in the last half.
I was furious.
It was good times.
We only played it to the end just so we could say that we beat it. Yeah. I had no fun. but anyways, contact me, Greg H. at GamesRadar.com, and I'll send you a copy of Borderlands 2 or whatever else
game.
You want. Fuck that game.
Yeah.
New question of the week. I know you had it written down.
Yeah, so,
I'm so glad I didn't play that.
What comic book related game or what comic book do you think should be turned into a game?
What comic book?
I'll get us started. So I think video games lack any good female characters. There's so very few of them. And so,
what about Cat Peach?
Yeah, Cat Peach. I know, as we only talked about her looks for... real quick, in that Mario roundtable, one guy like asked a question about like the characterization of Peach and how do you handle it now that she's like a playable character. And I want to say to him, like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, there's not going to be a story. There's not characterization. She won't even say – none of them say lines. Like, what do you expect?
Peach floats.
Yeah. Anyway – I want a God of War style game,
whoa,
but starring Wonder Woman.
Oh, Diana Troy.
Troy's not her
Diana.
Name. Diana Prince.
Oh.
Diana Prince.
Who's Come Diana on. Troy?
No one.
That
so
is
why
from
do you want
Star Trek. the Counselor Troy.
It's called The Next Generation.
The thing we were talking about.
Oh, Loxana Troy.
Anyway, yeah, it would be her
That's
killing.
Her
I mean, it could work just the same as, well, she wouldn't murder gods as much, but she would kill all the minions of gods, like, all the time. She would have an awesome sharp sword. She'd have her lasso to whip people around with, and as a storyline scene to make people tell the truth.
Lasso of truth.
And, you know, Wonder Woman's never even got a good movie, let alone a movie, let alone a good one, or a TV show. She barely appears in games, so like, get with it.
In Justice, she looks like a dude. Like, no offense.
It's
her shoulder blades. They're, yeah, like, protruding out of her.
Hawk Girl looks a lot better in the game.
Yeah, who? Yeah. Hawk Girl? You ever heard of her?
I thought you said Hot Girl.
Hot Girl, her power is hotness.
Hot Girl looks a lot better than Wonder
Woman. She looks pretty hot.
I'm going to go with Chew. It's a comic.
Oh, you're going to go with Darkwing. Detective.
Cat Fantastic. Ah, no, I'll go with Chew. Chew's a comic about a guy who can, when he eats anything, he feels and sees its memories. And I feel like I wrote an article about this a while ago, but I stand by it. I feel like a Telltale-style game, like a point-and-click adventure-style game, would make good use of that. Mm-hmm. And I think it could be really fun and just really weird.
I'm going to piggyback off of that in the Telltale style and say Why the Last Man, I think, would be a pretty good Telltale-style episodic game.
I think that's almost too action-y for it. Like, it could
really?
Be it could be like an Uncharted or like Last of Us style.
Bits. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's like a make for a good action game.
I don't think there's that many scenes where he murders people.
He never murders anybody.
Yeah, so it wouldn't make sense for him to be in any game but the Telltale-style game.
It's true.
Yeah, but that'd be awesome.
Ba-dunk.
I'm into that. Lucas. Oh,
I would go with
Diana Troy.
Wait, what is Counselor Troy's first name?
Deanna.
It's Deanna. Oh, okay. We have like 2 more minutes in this room.
Usagi Yojimbo. I would want a 16-bit style side scroller. That comic is awesome. It's been going for years at this point. And
most
really cool.
People probably just remember him from crossing over with the Ninja Turtles cartoon.
And yeah, with that rabbit space pilot.
Usagi means rabbit in Japanese.
I would go with Mouse Guard because it's
It's
a comic that I just recently started reading. But like, I'm picturing like a Dragon Age style thing with mice.
That's the article I wrote. Did you read the article I wrote?
No.
I wrote an article about comics that should be turned into games, and I specifically said that Mouse Guard should be a Dragon Age style game.
Because there's like, they would fight snakes and like all these predators and stuff, and they're just awesome mice. And that one with
like
the big
deadly
spiky
creatures
sword.
Mixed with
Dragon Age.
Yeah, that one would be so awesome.
Yeah.
So. And I love mice.
That's all I have to say.
And I love mice.
I just love mice. So yeah, answer the question of the week on Twitter, Facebook, or in the comments of this article.
Messenger pigeon
will work. Scream it as loud as you can, no matter where you are.
As long as you end it with Greg, I'll hear it.
Yeah, that's how Greg works. Or begin it with Greg. How do you hear it at the end? How do you know?
Well, you could say like, I think this would be really cool, Greg.
Just yell Greg at some point and he'll catch most of it.
Yeah.
So that's it for the episode, and we will talk to you next week. So the thing is, which is faster?
Them. Which is faster?
Oh, yeah.
Blam.
Oh, you know what? Actually, there.
I'm in.
Oh, boom.
I don't know what any of these games are.
I'll go first. Which is faster? Mavis Beacon teaches typing.
Oh.
It's all about making you faster than you already were.
Do you remember all the home keys?
Mavis. Is it? It's Beacon, right?
Yeah, Mavis Beacon.
Mavis Bacon. Beacon.
Mavis Bacon.
Did you guys not use Mavis Beacon?
No, I did.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It teaches typing. I don't know if you knew that.
To make you faster.
You know it doesn't teach typing? Super Smash Bros. Melee doesn't teach you typing, but a melee, especially in this case, is a fast battle. It's one of the fastest fighting games around, and that is why, to end my book report, Super Smash Bros. Melee is the fastest game.
And speaking of fast fighting games, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out makes you want to be super fast, so, you know,
have super fast reactions so you don't have to get punched in the face by Mike Tyson.
Good hustle. Or
Mr. Dream.
The dictionary defines speed.
Webster's dictionary.
Mine is missed, believe it or not. Now, you'll say missed is boring and super slow. Who cares?
I would say that.
But
that sounds like what I would say.
If you know every single how to solve every single puzzle in it all before you even start, you'll be done in under 10 minutes, I'm betting.
So
you actually don't
I haven't tested
missed.
This, but it goes really fast once you know what you're supposed
I'm gonna
to
look
do.
Up
so the speed running
run.
Is insane.
Yeah, so missed. I had Super Mario Kart. I chose to go with missed.
I think you missed the point.
Oh.
Ah!